AT&T is $5 sorry for their massive outage. NVIDIA's Jensen thinks that kids shouldn't learn how to code. And AMD releasing the best GPU here in the U.S. Let's get into hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news that you can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Monday, February 26, 2024. We're going to start off today talking about something that happened last week, and that was AT&T, one of the carriers here in the United States, had a major outage affecting tens of thousands of people. And now they are acknowledging why it happened and offering a mea culpa for such an occurrence. So the bill credit that they're planning on implementing is $5 per account for those who were affected by this outage, not per line. You know, if you have a mother and a father and several children on a family plan and they couldn't get in touch with each other and one of them got in a car accident and then there was emotional stress, that is worth a total of $5. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you can't potentially press AT&T for more, but it does seem like they're trying to automatically just give out this $5 bill credit to anybody who was affected by this. However, part of the problem is that this was not just the service was down, but also emergency services were down. However, it turns out that this was not due to any sort of cybersecurity attack. Instead, it was being acknowledged by AT&T that this was just a failed software update. They tried to push some code that didn't work, which knowing somebody who works at AT&T and hearing the state of how they're handling the engineers and people responsible for upholding the network, I'm not shocked this happened. And you shouldn't be shocked that I love today's video sponsor. Today's video is sponsored by Nexigo and their Hall Effect GripCon and NS32 Nintendo Switch controllers. Unfortunately, for the past 2 weeks, my house has been slowly taken over by sickness, which I currently still have. And while my kids were all home from school and everyone was feeling under the weather, it was great to have Nexigo controllers on standby so we could just rest and play our Switch games as comfortably as possible. The Nexigo Hall Effect GripCon is an ergonomic handheld controller designed to prevent our hands from cramping during longer gaming sessions. The latest iteration of this controller improved on Nexigo's turbo mode, now being fully adjustable. Save your thumbs in tense situations by making one button press the same as 20. The ability to spam your desired button 5, 10, or 20 times is easily activated by the T button and controlled by the plus or minus buttons. The GripCon also comes outfitted with RGB joystick light rings, extra back mappable buttons, motion controls, and a non-slip ergonomic design. And if wireless is your preference, Nexigo also offers the NS32 wireless controller. The NS32 is compatible with all versions of the Switch and can even be upgraded to include the Hall Effect sensors, helping to prevent stick drift, allowing you to accurately and skillfully play your games. The NS32 also comes with dual motor vibration, a 6-axis gyroscope, and fast charging on a long-lasting battery. And we put that to the test on our 18-hour drive to Florida back in January, and trust me, we had to keep the Switches on charge way more than the controllers. So you can change the way you use your Switch with the Nexigo controller today by checking out the links in the description below. Big thank you to Nexigo for sponsoring today's video. Well, just like AT&T went down in the US, turns out Google Pay is also going down in the US. That's going to stop later this year in June. You're going to have to start using Google Wallet instead, which is almost the same thing, but not quite. You lose a few things like peer-to-peer payments, as well as a few other things that Google Pay had that was different than Google Wallet. Every time we talk about Google shutting down something here on Hot News, we inevitably have many people who are like, I use this service all of the time. This is such a massive inconvenience. Even though to me, this looks like you could just easily switch over. If you have that, let me know down in the comments. And Avast was letting their customers know that, hey, they're gonna protect you from all of those smarmy, shady websites out on the internet, that they're gonna keep you safe. Avast antivirus or browser protection, whatever the heck they were doing, has been ordered to stop selling browsing data and to pay people back because, despite the fact that they said that their information collection from their users would be anonymous and aggregate and that it would stop hackers from making money off your searches, turns out that it was not those things and that they were making money off of your data by collecting everything and then selling it to a company known as Jumpshot, who's been shut down. But now Avast has been ordered by FTC to pay $16.5 million, which will be used to provide redress to customers. So in case you were using Avast, probably a bad idea. But let's talk about some more ways to collect your data. data, and that's all your biometric goodness. All of that thing that makes you a human being sold to companies, and Samsung is going to have a latest device for you to use. The Samsung Galaxy Ring is expected to get unveiled at Mobile World Conference later this week. They're already putting out a teaser of this, but it's supposed to help you to collect all that biometric data. Obviously, they're going to get some of that on the back end. It'll help build their AI. That's what the data's going to go to nowadays. I personally have stayed away from biometric rings simply because I am terrified of being degloved. We even replaced my wedding ring with one of those silicone bands. Don't Google degloving if you're squeamish, because, oh man, as soon as I found out about it, I was like, I love my wife, but I would like to show that love and also be safe at the same time. And I think it's safe to say that Reese is not doing deals today because he was busy gallivanting across the South African coast. And so I'm gonna provide you with NVIDIA's Jensen saying, here's the deal. Kids shouldn't learn how to code. This is at the World Government Summit in Dubai where the NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang was talking to a whole crowd of people where he discussed exactly what AI is going to accomplish for people, for humanity moving forward. And one of the topics of conversation was how potentially it's not going to be a worthwhile skill to learn how to code, and that programming in and of itself is not going to be valuable. If you watch this little clip right here, he doesn't exactly say that children shouldn't learn how to code. That might have been present in a different part of the speech, but specifically he talks about what I think is one of the recursive issues with AI. He discusses how everybody is going to be able to become a programmer, especially if they have domain level expertise. And so it's going to be the domain level experts who are going to be able to utilize AI to take what they do to the next level. Except for the problem with all of that is that in order to get good data to train AI, you need domain level experts to feed in good data. But when you remove all of the incentive for people to become entry level in those positions because you upskill everybody to the point where it's not valuable to have an entry level programmer because you just type into ChatGPT and it's gonna spit out the very basics that you need. You just need an expert who's gonna be able to correct it. Well, when you de-incentivize people getting into the field, you make it so that you have fewer and fewer experts who can correct it at the top end, which thereby would create a situation where in the future, we have fewer subject matter experts who are able to actually work with the AI. I've talked about this in a previous episode of Hot News when it comes to just even Google search and summarizing everything based on AI de-incentivizes people to create the content that's being summarized. If you take away the ability for people to be entry level, you take away the ability for many people to become experts. It's an intriguing little shakeup that's gonna be happening because AI doesn't grab its information from nowhere. It's not necessarily making it up. It's taking it from the vast collection of data that it has. And when you start feeding it bad data, or you start feeding it no data, you're going to get a worse output. Until we get artificial general intelligence, and then who freaking cares? The AI is gonna do all of the learning, all of the exploring, and we just have to die, I guess. But what does NVIDIA care? They just passed $2 trillion in market cap as of Friday, so it's going great for them. Speaking of another $2 trillion plus company, Microsoft is gonna potentially unveil direct super resolution for Windows, which is expected to happen at GDC, the game developer conference in 2024. They're gonna talk about how DirectSR could be baked in to video games and make it so that you don't have to fight between, are you gonna use AMD's, Intel's, or NVIDIA super resolution. You just use what's already there. Should hopefully be GPU agnostic, but I'm not agnostic when it comes to AMD. I believe that they're making a good move here. I believe in them because the 7900 GRE is finally coming to the US. If you're not familiar with this GPU, it is a great value graphics card. It got launched in China a few months ago. It has been selling like hotcakes over there to the point where they have had to lock the pricing of some of their other cards because the GRE just makes way too much sense. This thing is so close to a 7900 XT, but now officially it's gonna come out on February 27th or tomorrow here in the US. And it's gonna start at $549. AMD's marketing for this seems to show that they're directly trying to go toe-to-toe with the 4070 non-super because that's what NVIDIA decided to keep around. The 4070 Super cost a little bit more, which most people would decide to get, but thankfully the 7900 GRE should go toe-to-toe, if not beat the 4070 Super in many instances. It's going to be a very powerful GPU at $549. AMD, I think, chose to compare it to the regular 4070 because of the direct price comparison and the fact that they will likely win in every instance against the 4070, whereas on some games, the 4070 Super is going to beat the 7900 GRE. But you save $50 with the 7900 GRE. You can see right here, it only has four fewer compute units than the 7900 XT. It has 4 gigabytes of RAM less. It has a slightly slower memory bandwidth. It's also slightly slower than the memory bandwidth of the 7800 XT, but it is super competitive. It has been selling like wildfire elsewhere. It recently made its debut over in the UK, and now AMD finally officially launching it. This side, this appears to be their response to the Super Series of cards. Instead of dropping the price of the 7900 XT, which at this point, I don't know who would buy that. Most of them are selling for $699. The GRE is going to get you at least close enough to where I don't think it makes sense to go for the XT. Just try to save for the XTX. I love this graphics card. It's already proven its worth in other regions. I think $549 here in the US makes a ton of sense. Let me know what you think of it. Are you going to pick one up? Does this make enough incentive for you to be able to go get this instead of whatever NVIDIA has on the market? Let me know down below in the comments while I respond on to what you commented on Friday's episode. We got Paul Klein talking about the AT&T outage. That $5 probably not going to go too far, saying the outage hurt me financially. I'm an independent hotshot trucker and I had to drive home because I couldn't call to book a load for the truck. 330 empty miles a day. I drove 440 miles empty to get a better area for a load. Phone came back on when I was about an hour and a half from home, but the day was already shot. That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. That's a big bummer and also shows how dependent our lives are on like critical infrastructure that we just can take for granted a lot of the times. And the world's a very dynamic, complex system of people having to do their jobs. And unfortunately, when things go wrong in one area, it can have cascading effects downstream. I'm sorry to hear that, Paul. Then we got the Indulger saying, for a company that insists that they're a software and not a hardware company, they have had some of the worst software for ages. Glad they're finally doing something about that atrocity they call GeForce Experience. I didn't really ever use GeForce Experience because I didn't want to log in, and also I didn't need to know when there was the latest driver, so it let me know what bad experience you had with GeForce Experience, because I've been too far out of it to really know what's going on there. Dan Sim says, glad you're feeling better, Brett. As for shingles, it sucked. I had a patch of it break out on my side, and for a good 2 years after that, that area was still tender to the touch. Have a good weekend. I mean, I had shingles in, I guess it might have been early July, and up until very recently, this area wasn't tender, which is where I've had the shingles. It was itchy a lot, like a phantom itchiness that kind of went away very recently. I'm like, only because of your comment, I'm now noticing I'm no longer as itchy on this side as I used to be. So thanks for the reminder. Then Goner Me Leggy saying, really excited about the coffee. Happy to see that you're mixing regional coffee is like Brazilian and Ethiopian. I used to roast coffee and the flavors are so different based on region and elevation. Expecting this coffee to taste like chocolate covered cherries, berries with a hint of almond or pecan. Excited to see where the blends go. That's actually pretty close. So the tasting notes that we've gotten from, like, I forget what you call an official coffee like procurer and taster, but the tasting notes are semi-sweet chocolate, apricot, and yeah, it's definitely more of a like a slight hint of fruit with some chocolate, and it's very delicious, which again, we're going to be launching this officially as of Rare Disease Day on Thursday. And we got Brian Moss saying, congrats on the new business, guys, super psyched. I know you've been struggling for a while, been a silent supporter, looking forward to the journey. Always prayers and good vibes for your son and your fam. After you get settled, let us in on the nitty gritty on how you did it. Some of us want to make a similar jump. Nitty gritty on how we made it through what part of it, the coffee company, because this is not anything super special. I did see another comment where somebody was like, oh, YouTubers are all launching coffee, are you guys just using the same supplier? And that is a way you can go. You can do like there are just services out there that will just bag your coffee, slap your label on it, and ship it out. However, there's not a lot of clarity and knowing of what the supply chain looks like, and that was really important to us, was making sure that when we're having coffee, that we know that there's economic systems in place that can harm and disadvantage farmers and make it so that you're extracting value out of that region that otherwise shouldn't be. And so we wanted to make sure that we were working with a supply chain where farmers are getting compensated very fairly, very good, And that they can sustainably have their farms, not so that we can make a profit, but so that we can all benefit together. And that was a process for us to be able to find a coffee supplier who is actively working with farms on a level that is good for everybody involved, not just people here in the US who want to drink it and the companies that want to profit from it. That was the longest part of this journey. It was something that we weren't willing to compromise on. And it's one of the reasons why we're not going with just some like drop shipping operation. Like I think there's one that's called like drip shipping, because the idea, like they can source the coffee very easily and you slap a label and send it out. Whereas we are packaging this up ourselves. We are working with the supplier directly. We are placing orders with the coffee importer directly, making all of that happen. And it's a much tougher adventure, but we're excited for it. And we got Cameron saying, Brett, I'm going to drink it. I'm going to taste it. You can't stop me. I'm going to do it. That coffee is getting in me. I can't stop you. It's so good. It is so good. It's hard to resist. I do like our coffee, and I do like ending hot news. So I'm going to be done with this episode. We'll see you back here for more tomorrow.